96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are coming to the end of 2015. This has been an interesting, volatile, and indeed surprising year in the news. So what are some of the top stories of 2015? We're at the Reporters' Roundtable tonight to examine them. My guests are Deborah Simmons with The Washington Times and Eric Easter with the Urban News Service. So what do you think are the top stories of the year? Lines are open. You can join the conversation and let us know what you think. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Certainly you can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Okay, Eric and Deborah, thank you all so much for joining me. Let us first start with today's big story.
Mr. Cosby urged her to take pills and to drink wine. The effect rendered her unable to move, and he committed aggravated indecent assault upon her.
Bill Cosby, criminally charged in a sex assault case. Deborah, this had to be a bit of a surprise. Even though this was a really, really big story for most of this year, what a way to end the year for what could be the biggest story of the year.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest, and I'd say one of the top three in the country for sure. There's no doubt about that. And first, let me say, pray for Bill Cosby, because he has done a lot, so much, giving away money to black colleges and universities for scholarships, admonishing us for not properly parenting and raising our own kids, and doing it in his own way, traipsing around the country, holding town halls in every quadrant of the country about what we need to be doing about ourselves and our own kids. And again, the philanthropy and wearing Howard University sweatshirts when he would go around the country and
Spelman,
perform.
Morehouse,
where his own kids graduated. Temple, of course, his own school. There are accolades, and the fact that it just seems to me, in so many ways, that we've been painted a picture by the attorney for, I think, 28, 29 of these
Gloria
women,
Allred.
Gloria Allred, Allred, who makes it sound like every city Bill Cosby ever visited, he had a drug dealer who knew to drop him some lewds or whatever pills or drugs it was that he wanted. And I still don't want to take away from the seriousness of the allegations, because I was among those women who back in the 60s and 70s was yelling and screaming and raising Cain and saying, don't treat rape as though it's just a quote unquote sex crime.
Exactly.
It's an entirely different type of crime, and it can happen to men and to women. These are serious allegations, which is why I've been deep in prayer. This is a man who knows, Bill Cosby knows three generations of my family. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that when I've called to interview me, I've always gotten in touch with him or he calls me back. And I appreciate that professionally. I appreciate that. This is very, very serious, and we shouldn't take it lightly.
Eric?
I think, on the other hand, I mean, all of that is true. But on the other hand, you have to realize that this is a serious matter. And it is something that he has to account for if it's something that he's done. And you must take those stories seriously. I mean, there may be some untruth in somewhere in there, but you can't have that wealth of number of women speak out and risk whatever it is, you know, all that they risk by coming out and being in the public. Everything that every rape victim has ever told you about how hard it is to say something. They have nothing to win by this. They can't win money. You know, it's too late for most of them. So they really have nothing to gain by coming out.
You know, I really see what Deborah is saying too. One could argue that this is a history altering series of developments, mm-hmm. because Bill Cosby is iconic, not just for his philanthropy and his support for the black community and higher education, but also as an entertainer and a comedian. You know, I'm talking along the lines of a Sammy Davis Jr. or a Michael Jackson in his specific area. And for this kind of thing to, you know.
And a veteran, a military veteran.
Absolutely. Navy.
Yes.
In the Navy. And so certainly it is at the very, very least disappointing. But and with some 50 women accusing him of this, you know, it is a very, very difficult and bitter pill to swallow. We are talking tonight about the top stories in 2015. You can give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We have several stories to discuss tonight. Let's take a look at yet another story that was a really, really big deal in 2015.
The findings of our comprehensive, thorough, and independent investigation, coupled with the medical examiner's determination that Mr. Gray's death was a homicide, which we received today, has led us to believe that we have probable cause to file criminal charges.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
That is Baltimore City State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby this past spring announcing charges in the Freddie Gray case. And certainly the Black Lives Matter issue is much, much older than this spring. But it can be argued that this really helped put it on the map for 2015, because after that, we had the charges for the six officers involved. We, of course, had the riots in Baltimore, and we had more and more protests of Black Lives Matter. The Tamir Rice case continued to drag out and on and on and on. Eric, Black Lives Matter 2015.
What's so important about that is not just the individual stories, but it's also the movement that has come out of this. And it's really an unorthodox new sort of civil rights movement. And people don't really know how to handle that yet, certainly the older civil rights folks. I mean, you have a decentralized model who are working on local agendas. So there's not some sort of national singular agenda. They're talking about local laws that have to be changed. So you don't have this sort of central coalescing point other than the fact that Black Lives Matter. So it's almost a franchised new movement in some sense, where every local person is sort of taking on the name and the action, mm-hmm. and becoming their own movement within their own community, without this sort of, you know, charismatic leadership that we're used to, and people are not really knowing how to react to it because they don't have that single person that can be on the air talking about it. They don't have the single person who they can, you know, yell at, scream at. Mm-hmm. It's just going to pop up when it pops up, and that makes it scary to a lot of, you know, to a lot of people in the administrations or around around the country, but it makes it effective as well.
Deborah, were you struck by that franchise move?
Because I don't understand what the agenda is. It's not, to me, it's not prioritized, even though justice issues come up at every event, no matter mm-hmm. where it is. But when I see things like what we saw going on at Yale, where I know those parents, struggling or not, are paying $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 for their kids to go to school there, and they're yelling these nasty, vile obscenities at people who are in the library where even children know you're supposed to be quiet. Mm-hmm. So things like that, unorthodox or not, I don't understand. And what really gets me is that nobody's telling them otherwise. Nobody's directing them to move. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get emails from different franchises,
right,
in the Black,
yeah,
Lives Matter movement, and nobody's telling them to do this or to do that. I understand and I appreciate that. But what nobody's telling them is, that doesn't belong in our movement.
Yeah,
because movement, I don't care what you're doing, you have to have parameters and some kind of structure. The structure I can do without for now, but the parameters seem to me it's anything and everything by any means necessary.
And, but the same thing has been said by every movement and every generation at some point. And I don't know any generation that seriously sat down and listened to their elders.
But are they effective if there are no parameters?
Well, we're talking about it.
Well, we could say that because obviously that they pressured the police chief or commissioner in Chicago to lose his job. Rahm Emanuel asked for his resignation as a result of these kinds of things. You could also argue that the Justice Department was listening, and by extension, we saw this, you know, this report that, you know, that came out of Ferguson and some other work. So, I think
the police chief left in Chicago, but look what happened just within the past
week. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what I mean by, is it effective?
Let me go to the phone lines. We have some folks who want to get in their top stories as well. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Reggie calling from Richmond. Hey, Reggie, how are you? Been a while since we've had a chance to chat.
Yes, sir, and happy holiday to you and to your illustrious panel.
Thank you so much.
I have 1A and 1B. That assassination of a sitting elected official in South Carolina in a church with those beautiful angels with the Confederate swastika coming down. But the main one, the affirmative action on the seas with the Supreme Court. And we found out that a justice put on his white hood and showed his true colors.
There you go. Reggie, thank you so much for your comment. You want to comment quickly on that, Deborah, either one of those two?
No, it is what it is. The Supreme Court is what it is. Mm-hmm. And we know Antonin Scalia, is a conservative thing. But I saw him as goading arguments when the case comes before the court as to explaining to lawyers, Solicitor General included, what you need to say when you get in that well in the U.S. Supreme Court and start discussing this case.
Okay. Any comment from you?
On Charleston, I'm just stunned at how, you know, the Justice Department has not taken, or the Homeland Security Department has not taken on the same active effort against domestic terrorism in the same way that they have against the kind of terrorism that you saw in Paris and San Bernardino.
And we're going to get to those. Let me grab a real quick phone call from Yvonne calling from Bowie. Real quick, Yvonne, what's on your mind?
Happy New Year, Mr. Fisher. How are you
so much. I'm just fine. Go ahead.
My top story is Bill Cosby.
Uh-huh.
I have to piggyback on what Deborah said, and also those scallywags that making all these accusations, whether they're true or false, why didn't you come forward when it first happened? Why now?
Interesting point. Yvonne, thank you so much. I appreciate your input. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the top stories of 2015. What do you believe is your top story for 2015? What story really touched you? What story did you feel was most important? We are going to continue that discussion on the other side on SiriusXM Channel 141. So definitely please stay with us. Donna from Fort Washington, we're going to talk to you. Chris from Winchester, Virginia, we are also going to talk to you, so please do not hang up. Also, we have on our panel some of their top stories as well, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Wes Hall is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines still open. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds.